For you are God alone. From before time began,
you are God alone.
For you are God alone. From before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. For you are God alone. From before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. For you are God alone. From before time began, you are on your throne. Worship you only, to worship you only, my leave, to worship you. It's to worship you only, to worship you only, to worship you. And in your presence, all I can say. My testimony, yeah. You are my King. Your very Lord. Are you worshiping? So
and I.
my body, my soul, my spirit, breathe on me. That's my prayer, Lord. Touch my body, my soul, spirit, breathe on me, breathe on me. You are the Holy Ghost. Take your place in my life today. Take your place in my ministry. Take your place. Hey! Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me. And when you no longer have words, this is what you say. Yeah, yeah. Hey. Yeah, yeah. 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 Try to hear my bell, Kuta. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Let it rise as a sense of worship from desperate people. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, before I acknowledge Pastor, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, listen. Your life will never, never, never be the same. Never be the same. Your city will never be the same. Hear me. A man cannot talk like this. It is not given to men to speak like this in their power. You do not have the experience, the wisdom, the audacity, and the empowerment to speak as a man like this. These are the words of God. Your life will never be the same. Listen. Listen carefully, please. In every meeting, there are two kinds of people. You'll soon sit down. There are those who come to honor the meeting, to honor the man of God as part of the organizers who want to witness history. Usually, they are blessed, they are wonderful people to document the things that happened and what God did and which man of God came. But they are a second kind of people. Those who know that there are kairos moments in men's lives and that every time God is ready to change your life, He will introduce a man. Listen, and every time Satan wants to destroy your life, He will introduce a man. These are men who know that human beings are strategies. They are not just living things. The only strategy with which heaven can communicate its reality to a person. And so when they see men, they discern. Elijah had many sons learning under him, but Elisha discerned. And Elijah said, if you can see me, if you perceive what I represent,
that I am not just flesh and blood, but I represent a system that can communicate a dimension of reality, you will have it. Others saw a man who was privileged to have access to the dealings of the Spirit. But a man saw a system that represented God's dealings. I don't know what category you belong to, but in 1 minute, cry, cry. Lord, an encounter that will change my life. Please pray. Shabrakata, sobradakata. Your life will never be the same. Libras kata bradish kalabre de gasibres. Tapratash kalabrande gete proskoda baladadas kebandas. Jepros, zipras kalabras kote bariatakata prendisalia. Lekata praskadia. At every level there is room to rise. There is always more. There is always a higher dimension. There is always a newer level. Cry with all meekness and humility. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's my joy to be here. I love you all. It's a wonderful place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to specially honor the servant of God, the man of God, Pastor Shola Oshimakinde. I want us to honor him. You are a wonderful man. I love you from my heart. Very wonderful man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to honor every servant, man, woman of God. I cannot go into the details, but I honor you from the depth of my heart. Hallelujah. Tonight the Lord will change us in the name of Jesus. I won't keep us here for too long, I assure you, but our lives will change. Please just sit down quietly if you can, and let's get to the word.
I'm under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. We are under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over us. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's what is happening to us.
We are under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over us. We are under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over us.
You see me sing like this, I'm not a musician. I got to understand that worship is a ladder in the realm of the spirit. You can use it to climb to dimensions. It's not just about songs. Hallelujah. He said, I will reveal my dark sayings upon the harp. I will reveal my dark saying. You know, Pastor prophesied the rain and here it is. It means God is doing something marvelous in your life. Amen. There are two things you need when you want to do business with God. This is not my teaching. This is just to complement the rain. When you want to do business with God, the first thing you need is time. The first thing you need is not even revelation. There must be a pledge of time. Because that's all man has. Not money, not cars, not houses. The most expensive commodity in your life is time. And if you really want to do business with God, you must be willing. I don't mean time in a program. That's not what I'm saying. Time. Anything you give time to, you will know more of it. Are we together? And time is a proof of love. Whatever you love, you will have time for. Have you seen people say, I don't have time for you, and right after that, they have 2-3 hours for someone else? They are not saying, I don't have time. They are saying, I don't have it for you. Praise the Lord. So you need time. And then number two, you need hunger. Hunger. And the system of God's dealing with man is such that your hunger is a magnet. It can attract God to your direction. Every time God sees hunger, he cannot ignore it. The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. It is the requirement to be in field. So when there is genuine hunger, then his presence comes. And the system of that encounter is such that he satisfies the hunger that brought him and leaves you with a bigger one to call him again. So the proof that you've met God is a paradox. You are both satisfied and left hungry. Are we together? He satisfies the hunger at the level that introduced his presence to you. But then much more than that, you will find out that he will leave you with another dimension of hunger. I believe that that's what has brought us here and granted the grace for God's servant to put this meeting. And I know that the Lord will never allow us to go back the same. In the name of Jesus. I'll be talking on a few things and then we will pray. Many great men of God have dispensed truths from here, and I'm not doing too much of a teaching. I think what I would be doing would be more of an exhortation. There are so many people outside. Let's have a system of just allowing them come in, even if it's just to stay somewhere. It's a sacrifice we have to make for this meeting. Hallelujah. Thank you, because I know we're working on it. In John chapter 3, a man called Nicodemus, can you hear me? A man called Nicodemus, the Bible says that he was a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews. Then he came to Jesus by night and engaged him in a conversation. This is what he said, verse 2. He says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man sent from God. How do we know? For no man can do these things except God be with him. Now listen to the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Then the next verse, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, most assuredly, I say unto you, right, that except ye be born again. Jesus is introducing something very strange. He says you cannot see the kingdom. Everyone say, see the kingdom. Then Nicodemus is bothered because he's interpreting what Jesus is saying from an intellectual standpoint. And then he says, how can a man be born a second time? Will he enter into his mother's womb? This is verse 4. Verse 5 now says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born, he introduces two mysterious elements. Except a man be born of water and, not or, water. And in addition to that experience of water, the spirit, then he changes his terminology. He cannot enter. So in verse 3, Jesus talks of seeing the kingdom. And then in verse 5, he talks of entering the kingdom. It's one thing, though commendable, to see the kingdom, see the realities that are available, and to even be able to articulate them. It's not a lie. Listen carefully. To see the kingdom, to know that there are provisions in the kingdom, there are realities in Christ, to be able to give an exegesis of spiritual realities. But then the Bible says much more than that. Much more than that. Can you hear me? I just need to know you are hearing me. Praise God. Don't worry, the rain will not be forever. Trust me. Just keep your spirit opened and then you will understand. Are we together? So Jesus is talking about Seeing the kingdom. Everybody say, seeing the kingdom. Then he's talking of entering the kingdom. Now, my challenge. Please sit down. Let's not be distracted. It's not prophecy. It's called dominion. Let's listen. Then, hold on, please. If you keep shouting, I can't continue. There's a lot we have to talk about. Praise God. Now, listen. Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus. And then he's talking of seeing the kingdom. And then he's talking of entering the kingdom. And then you go down to verse 8. And he tells us something very mysterious. John 3 and verse 8. You're going to have... Let me tell you something. When this rain falls and allows you, some of you would have been on your way home, if not because of this rain. Sometimes you just need to sit and hear God. It says, the wind. Let's read together. One, two, read. He gives us a description. In other words, you can know a man who is born of the Spirit. His activity is in the similitude of the wind. It says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound. You can see the effect. Although you may not be able to explain the dynamics of what is happening. But the sound. So is a man. Such is the behavior of a man who is born of the Spirit. Now, there are several people in the body of Christ. I have always said that I do not think the body of Christ lacks revelation, Pastor. The problem is never revelation. By the grace of God, there is no time, I believe, in church history where we have had such a dimension of alignment by men and women of God across the body to be able to bring a supply of insight and revelation to the body of Christ. You switch channel after channel, web pages after web pages, blogs, books. There are all kinds of information that contain multifaceted dimensions of kingdom reality. So we are not in ignorance. If anyone ever tells you the body of Christ lacks revelation, it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. Are we together? The challenge, and this is where my, do I call it an exhortation, begins. Is that there are very few people in the body who have been able to enter the experience of the kingdom. The experience of the kingdom. Capacity to demonstrate the reality of all that Jesus proposed here and now. This is where I think that there is need for a lot of adjustment. We have seen the kingdom. We are witnesses. We see it around. We have come into an understanding, into a comprehension that these possibilities exist in the kingdom. There is no doubt. Nobody, for instance, will tell you God does not heal. It used to be an issue of argument, but right now, even the most conservative believe. So they are seeing the kingdom. They know that that reality is part of the provisions that are available in Christ. They know that wealth and prosperity, for instance, are realities that exist in the dealings of God with man. Are we understanding that? We know that according to scripture, dominion over darkness, principalities, powers, all kinds of forces of darkness are provisions that have been settled in Christ. They know that a church is supposed to grow. As a pastor, you should not struggle with things like membership, favor, etc. They know that favor is a provision that consists in the dealings of God with men. There should be such a thing. They know that delay should not come from God. They know that we should experience peace. But the problem, brothers and sisters, listen to me very carefully. The problem is our inability to translate those realities we claim to know. And we claim have been settled to cause that word
to be able to be made flesh. The Bible says the Word became. Everybody say became. The Word became flesh. That's how he dwelt among us. And then we beheld. We were now witnesses to that reality only because it became flesh. Are we together? Here's what Jesus said in John 15. He said, herein is my Father glorified. This is how my Father receives glory. When you bear much fruit, by so doing, you become testaments, epistles, that you are my disciples. Not just those who are listening to me, those who have been able to reproduce my ideas. Bearing fruit. So the challenge here is not necessarily trying to know something new. Are we together? The challenge is understanding the system of the spirit that is able to translate spiritual realities so that men can be able to demonstrate those possibilities here and now. Are we blessed? And in the process to making that happen, Paul the apostle, who was committed this depth of revelation and insight, began to give us a process. This is what he says in Romans chapter 8. When we begin to read from verse 18, he says, for I come to terms. Paul is trying to introduce something to us so that it will not be strange on our journey to walking in the experience of the kingdom life. Paul is saying there can be different kinds of constraints. And as an apostle over the church, I am giving you this information so that when you find out, you don't interpret it as lack of faith. There are dimensions, is part and parcel of the process, the constraints that will eventually birth something powerful. And then this is what he says, for I reckon that the sufferings, the word sufferings there is the word permission, constraints, momentary constraints, momentary seemingly defiances to the word of God, the sufferings of this present time, it says they are not worthy to be compared with the glory, right, that shall be revealed in you. The next verse says, for the earnest expectation of creation. Listen carefully. It never says they are waiting for the explanation. They are waiting for the manifestation. One version says creation is waiting for God to reveal who his sons truly are. Are we together now? So creation is waiting. What are they waiting for? Not more churches, not more conferences, not better books, not better utterances. They are waiting for people who will be able to prove, not just by saying, but proof with their lives, that this reality can be experienced here and now. When Jesus came, this is what he said. He said, repent. Let there be an alteration to your paradigms. Why? Because I'm introducing a new system. And then he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's within your reach. It's an experience that you can walk in right now. There is nothing more frustrating for a believer than a reality that you are not ignorant of a truth, but you cannot prove its reality in your life. You will only use another story to make reference. It's a terrible experience. That's why subconsciously, over years and decades of frustration in producing results in our lives, we claim to believe this, but a stronghold has been built that it is not supposed to manifest. So people say amen, but you see their unbelief when it eventually happens. The shock on their faces tell you they did not expect it to happen. Are we blessed? So we must be able to move past seeing the kingdom, talking about it, celebrating it, which is very important. But we must graduate. Jesus gave us two dimensions. The first is that we need to see the kingdom. Because until we see it, there is no appetite that is stimulated in us to continue that pursuit. So when we see it, Moses saw, he stood upon a mountain and saw the promised land, but he did not enter it. That you have seen it is no guarantee, brothers and sisters. So many pastors have seen. They know, that a church should grow. They know that the sick should be healed. They are sincere people. They love God with all their heart. Many members know that I should not be in this condition. They know that SS is not in the Bible. They know that AS is not in the Bible. They know that Jesus healed the sick. That is seeing the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, who can make it alive now? Not by guessing, not by chance. Most of our work in the miraculous is largely guesswork. We manipulate principles anyhow, and we hope that one of them will work. And then if it works, we celebrate it, but we can't reproduce it. Mastery is the ability to produce the same result under any circumstance. And Paul says, he that strives for mastery is not crowned until he strives lawfully. Are we blessed? We need the experience of the kingdom. This is how souls will be won. This is how cities will be transformed. This is how we will influence government and influence every strata of human activity. It's not going to be by talking about it. I assure you, this is why many people liken Christianity to a nuisance. They think we're a nuisance to civilization. Every time a man says he's a Christian, especially a pastor, the moment you say you are a pastor, what they hear is, I'm this nuisance bringing a movement to a city to manipulate people, collect money from them, and convince them of some spooky things in the realm of the spirit. The Bible says time will fail me, Hebrews 11, to talk of Gideon and Jephthah and Barak. It says men who through faith, they walked in the experience. They subdued kingdoms. They were not willing to subdue kingdoms. They were not going to subdue kingdoms. It said they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. Women received their dead back to life. They shut the mouths of lions. Then the Bible says so that they without us will not be complete. When I began my pursuit for spiritual things, at a point in my life, I was frustrated, Pastor, because a bulk of what I read in this Bible, my life could not reproduce it. I kept hoping and hoping, and it did not happen. And I said, no, this is terrible. The level of intellectualism that was proposed to me to be committed in this book to get results, I said it's not fair. So someone who didn't go to school and didn't learn English, how can he walk in the experience of the kingdom? How did 12 people, uneducated fishermen, under 3 years, why should I have members with 10 years and nobody can demonstrate the kingdom? Jesus had students in 3.5 years. He set them like the foxes of Samson and they turned the world upside down. Something must be wrong in our system of communicating the kingdom. If you are gathered here tonight, let me tell you, it's because you are part of that glorious army. These kinds of meetings, you don't come, you are invited. It's a summit. You are not invited by posters. You are handpicked by the wisdom and the predeterminate counsel of the Spirit because of that which is being communicated. There are deep realities. The Bible says the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. The level of passion it takes to come for meetings like this is not the zeal of a man. God must put it in you to come. The same way the donkey of Kish was missing, and Saul, in a bid to find that donkey, began to navigate to the place of prophecy until he met with a man. And Samuel said, it's not about the donkey. The donkey was a system to draw you to an anointing. The experience of the kingdom. How our churches will be full of desperate and hungry people. When there are people who can demonstrate the realities of the kingdom, can validate the fact that God did not lie. Acts chapter 1, Jesus was talking with the people, having resurrected. He was with them over a period of 40 days, the Bible records, teaching them on the matters of the kingdom, catching up on the remaining lectures before he would leave. The church was about to be born. Are we together now? And then he began to talk to them about the restoration of all things. And they were excited because they had read in the prophets, the books written by the prophets. And they said, will you at this time restore the nation of Israel? And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has put within his care. But this is the curriculum you should know. You shall receive power. Listen carefully. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that power will make you witnesses, not preachers. Witnesses, not orators. Who is a witness? A witness is one who validates the claims of another. If I go to a court, sir, and somebody picked pastor's thing just for illustration, and I saw it when the person was speaking, are we together? And you are that person, and we go to the court, and he says, no, it does not belong to the pastor. The judge will say, do you have a witness? Who saw it? Guys, listen. And then they introduce me. And when they introduce me, my job is to prove that pastor is not a liar. Until I show up, you cannot prove that pastor is telling the truth. So when Jesus said, I am the truth, Satan says no. And God says, I mean, look at what Satan is doing. Where are they? Where are the witnesses? The validators? Where are they? Every sickness is a mockery on the word of God. Listen, it's not about barrenness. It's a statement. Satan is using men like a canvas and drawing a picture and sending it to heaven. Look what I'm doing with those you call your image. Is this how you look like? And he's saying, where are the witnesses? I need bodies. I need bodies. I need bodies. The treasure can only be kept in earthen vessels. I need the bodies that will be able to work as demonstrators of a reality. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. We come from Africa. A man will move, pastor, and match a charm. He didn't believe the charm will affect him. Are we together? Someone will be walking in the morning, and then the person will catch cold. Did you have faith in the cold? Answer me. Yet the cold vetoed whatever opinion you have and entered you. You stand close to someone with a communicable disease like tuberculosis. You didn't even ask him to give you. Just because you stood in an atmosphere close. That virus did not ask your name. It just entered you. And you found out you were a victim. So why should my presence not have a prophetic implication on you? Listen. Listen. This is not about some boast of a man. No. Please come, sir. Anybody come. This gentleman. Look at this. If this guy can transfer a sickness, I was not even believing in him. I didn't even know he had it. Yet the sickness had no respect for my opinion. It vetoed me and entered through the air. Why can't I transfer health? Look at it. No. We are word carriers. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in the word of God? Hold on. Must this guy really have to stay and start convincing himself that he can, the sickness had no respect and it came? There should be a prophetic implication, not just because of him, but because an atmosphere of heaven was close to his proximity and it must have an effect. Obed-Edom was not praying. Obed-Edom was not fasting. The ark just found its way. Listen, in the boat, the people there did not even know who Jonah was. He just carried an atmosphere of disobedience, changed the climate, and made people lose their properties. Demonstrators of realities. Listen, our traditional rulers can sit down and stop rain and stop sun, manipulate the elements of nature through invocation and their fraternity with spirit. While you are in the marketplace, you see the atmosphere reacting. You have no provision over it. The Bible says in the book of Job, a solemn assembly happened in the heavenlies. A man was on earth minding his business, and legislations were made involving him, and he was not part of the meeting. All of a sudden, Job is on earth, a meeting is concluded in heaven, and he begins to lose things. And he's wondering, what did I do wrong? Three of his friends came, and for 7 days, nobody, they stretched their intelligence from border to border. and said, Job, we don't know what this phenomenon, what is the explanation? It was the advantage of the writer of the book of Job. He was able to stand both from the realm of the spirit and the earth realm, and he communicated perspectives. If we only interpreted it from the earth realm, we would just say Job did something wrong. What does it take to shut the mouth of evil in a city? What does it take to convince unbelieving people? Can't you see how hard we make it look? Something is wrong. Something is wrong. The gospel cannot be attractive the way we are marketing it. The effort is too much. We call it faith. We say it is God that is doing it. But the energy being dissipated from us is too much. Nobody watching is because we were born Christians largely. You go around the world and meet somebody who is not a Christian, and he sees the way you are approaching it, and he says, it's the same thing with what I'm doing. There must be a reality that is capable of shutting the mouth of evil. Jesus designed the system of man's spiritual progress. He didn't receive it somewhere. It was designed by him. And it is wise for us to not suggest how it should be lived, but find out with all humility. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. I made up my mind as a man of God, and it's still my passion till today. I realize that every time destiny stands before me, that's somebody's last chance somewhere. There is no time for stories and grammar and just entertaining people. Somebody must live with a mark and experience. Listen, you enter the shrine of a herbalist, even if you say, sorry, it was a mistake, I don't intend to come, you will never be the same again. Just because you entered by mistake, you say, sorry, I thought I was going to a neighbor's house, that your feet match that place. You will see him in your dream and say, like you came. Let's continue the conversation. Men met Jesus and they had to look for him again. They pretended that he was not important. But in the night, Nicodemus came and said, don't mind what we do in the day. All that criticism, we are all liars. We know. In the day, we are just trying to conform to status quo. But the truth is, we know you are a man sent from God. We insult you and come for your crusade and think that you are not serious, but the truth is, we know. He didn't say, I know. Rabbi, we know you are a man sent from God, for no man can do, not say. No man can do, not say. I write these things to you, O excellent Theophilus. All that Jesus began to do and not teach alone, do and the most powerful way of communicating truths is to be a demonstrator of it, and then you can communicate that reality. That's why when people write books out of their experience, it becomes bestsellers overnight. If somebody gets up and is a poor person just managing with one small room somewhere, and he says, a way to be rich in 6 months, will the book sell? It will not sell because there is no experience that can validate it. But a banker just scrabbles something and say, print it, and they see the name, they say, no, there is a testimony behind that name that warrants my reading it. Hear what John said in his epistle. He said, this is the testimony. This is the record. There is proof. My life is the proof that God has given us Zoe. That's a teaching for another time. We would sleep here all night if I'm to talk to you about the reality of eternal life. Because what God gave us is not eternal life. You don't have to be a Christian to have eternal life. The condition for eternal life just means life without end. Everybody has it. The condition for eternal life is that you are born of a woman. The moment you pass through that gate, you can't have eternal life. The life God gave us is not just eternal life. It's a quality of life. Some of you are surprised now. Both sinners and believers have eternal life. When you preach to people, you ask them, where will you spend eternity? Not will you spend it. The issue is location, not possibility. Listen, the translators were only limited, right? Like Pastor Poju was saying yesterday, The Old Testament was largely written in Hebrews and Aramaic, and the New Testament was written in Greek. They are all very deep communications. You are Yoruba people largely, and your language is akin to Greek, very deep. You can come up with multiple expressions just over a word. Now, this is how it is, even in the Greek and in Hebrew. Are we together now? So when the translators were trying to translate John 3:16, what we call, we know to be eternal life, they had to pick what they understood to be the best quality of eternal life to represent it, because it's a law of interpretation. When there are multiple meanings, you have to search for the one that best communicates that thought. And so they picked longevity as the reference. But that's not all there is in eternal life. The Bible, Jesus himself showed us that there was a rich man. Are we blessed? Are we learning scripture? Jesus taught us that there was a rich man and there was Lazarus, correct? That's scene one of that play. They lived all kinds of lives, and regardless of how he lived, scene two, they found themselves in another dimension. All alive and all could communicate. They could speak, they could see, they could hear. They all had eternal life. No, you can use it as eternal life, but you just have to explain. We use the word eternal life, but this is a believer's meeting. And so I'm helping you understand the life that was given to us. John said, this is the record that God gave us something, gave us a dimension of life. Now, he was speaking to people who had been buried in all kinds of religions and witchcraft. Are we together now? The people were not naive, because there are different kinds of lives. Human life is not the only life there is. There were people in those days who fraternized with spirits, and because of their fraternity with spirits, they were lifted to a higher plane of life that was higher than the human life in quality and possibilities. But it was not, we call it Zoe, God's life. Kenneth E. Hagin, great men like Kenneth Hagin, call it God's kind of life. Well, I believe him, but you need to look at when he wrote it. You know, revelation is progressive. If Kenneth Hagin were alive till today, he would edit that. It's not the kind of life. The kind of life means there are many he has. It's God's very life, not the kind. No. God did not. If he gave us the kind of life, we cannot be his image. No. It has to be the very life. When you look at a mirror, you don't see the kind of you. You see you. Are we together now? So John is saying, how did I even get here? John is saying, this is the record. Are we together? That God has given us Zoe. Now, there are many kinds of life, quality of life. Money, financial prosperity is able to upgrade a man's life so that you live in a higher dimension to that which is affordable to the ordinary human being. Is that true? You can eat certain foods, you can live on certain kinds of health diet, and it can improve your life, but it's not Zoe. So he's saying God has given us a kind in contrast to the many that are available. People fraternize with idols and they worship them, and they can experience certain levels of possibilities that are not available to the natural man. Is that true? But it's not the kind of life. God has given us Zoe. It's called the life of God. The life of God. The life of God. And he says the character of this redemption is such that that life is in the Son. The proof that you have it is that you encounter the Son. He that hath the Son. So he describes the condition for receiving that life. Other people you do not need to meet the communicators, but you must encounter the Son as proof. So I don't need to ask you whether you have eternal life. I just need to look at your encounter with the Son. Have you met the Son? If you have met the Son, then according to scripture, he says, you have that life. Are we together now? John's life was so invincible. Banished to the Isle of Patmos. Attempted to be killed so many times. He defied so many things, and they just left him in the Isle of Patmos. Are we seeing that? That was his testimony. That the possibilities he was manifesting was not because he was John, but there was a supply of a dimension of reality that only came based on his encounter with the Son. So he brings it as a testimony. He says, this is it. Where is your own testimony that God has given you eternal life? Where is your testimony that you are in Christ? I know you have seen that you are in Christ, but where is the experience? Show me how you have tamed life like a dog. Show me how you have risen above sicknesses and challenges. Show me how you turn things around by the possibilities that exist in this life. The experience of the kingdom. When we are victims of the same thing every other person says, they don't do what we do, yet our results are the same. We have no testimony, so we are not witnesses. And this is the reason why, on the grounds of our repeated failure, regardless of how religious we sound, we are not able to convince them about a reality. When Jesus came, oh boy, Jesus Christ came and walked upon the earth. And the Bible says he started doing unusual things. 5 loaves, 2 fish. He said, no problem. Lazarus dead, brought him back to life. He saw a woman who was buried in witchcraft. Her husband died. Her only son died. All the men in life were dying. She was about to pass the gate from a city called Nain. And Jesus said, no, there's no need for that. I am here. I am a testament of the Father's benevolence. I have come to introduce to you that the Father is not as bad as this situation presents. So I want to re-present him. And he used that miracle to teach the woman a message that God is not bad. He is good. His mercies endure forever. And the woman says, how can I say that? And then he brought the son back to life. That was a testament. Are we together now? A woman like Pastor Podushed, with the issue of blood, she had something. I can tell you what Jesus preached, although I was not there. Are we together? Because Jesus said, I do nothing of my own. He came to represent the Father. He came to show people the reality of the Father. The message that Jesus preached was a revelation of the Father's goodness, of his benevolence, of his kindness. And the woman with the issue of blood was hearing. She had spent her money on doctors. She had suffered many things. Somebody had scammed her. Somebody lied to her. And she heard that word. And she said, if this Father is a good man, wherever he is, the God of the Hebrews, and Jesus comes as his image, then if I have not seen the Father and have seen Jesus, that means it's as good as seeing the Father. And he says that he's a living representation. Let me experiment. I will touch the hem of his garment. That revelation was what sponsored her faith. Listen, and although Jesus did not know, it did not stop who he was. The power still flowed. Are you seeing that now? And he said, who touched me? For virtue has left me. And the woman came and he looked at her. When they caught a woman in adultery, Satan, the spirit of the Antichrist, was walking through those people to attempt to show that God is not as good as he claims to be. So they should disbelieve him. And then they came and met him. And you know, Satan always uses "it is written." Satan is not ignorant. They caught a woman in the very act. They never brought the man, pastor, but they brought the woman. In the very act, what do you say? Because there is a system to know the Messiah. The Messiah will not negate any of the words of the prophets. If the Messiah came, he had to confirm the words of the law and the prophets. So if Jesus ever said that's not true, they say proof. Are you seeing? This guy is already fighting our great prophet. And if Jesus now said it is true, the prophets are right, they will say even Jesus has submitted to our ideologies. That's what Satan tried to do, to make him bow before him. Since he didn't do it physically, he entered men to make him bow before them. To bow is not to bow your head, it's to submit to what they represented. Are we together? And they came to Jesus through a woman caught in adultery, and Jesus looked by the wisdom of the Spirit. He was manifesting a reality that is not affordable to man. You don't get that by education. He wrote on the ground. Listen carefully. Based on, they had calculated what his answers would be. They were not foolish people. It was a coup. They came intentionally to trap him, but they did not know there was a system, a fountain of wisdom, endless. And Jesus said, look at how he answered. He who does not have sin, cast the first stone. And they knew, they cannot say, they understood the concept of sin, that it was not about what you did. It's an inheritance. So who is now going to stand and say we don't have anything? Then he will ask, why were you doing sacrifices if you claim you did not have sin? And so they knew that there was no way out. And they threw the stones and went. And Jesus said, where are thine accusers, woman? It was a testament. For the first time, she saw God is love. See, most of the scriptures we quote, the end is not just that we get results from them. The end is that we become them. Paul calls us living epistles. So that if I left my Bible at home and I meet you, sir, you can continue it through me. Are you seeing that now? You can open pages in my Bible. I can look at you, and through my life, you will know that there is a possibility in the kingdom called I will restore all the years the cankerworm has eaten. Look at me, all of you. Let me give you a little surprise. I hope you know the early church and the apostles did not have this. Correct? They didn't have this. It was not given to men to be possessors of this. They had the Pentateuch. They had the words of the prophets, and they were kept in the temple. Look for. Jesus would come, open it and read and close it and give it back. Question. When Jesus said word of God, what was in their mind? What was their word of God? Are you getting what I'm saying now? That's why the Bible says ever learning, but never coming into the experience, the comprehension of the truth. Let me tell you, after this meeting, you will thank the man of God and everyone that has put this program together. This is how to change people. This is how Jesus sat with people and spoke to them. There was a logic. That is spiritual does not mean it has to be inexplainable. There is a logic. Your spirit can bear witness. This is my testimony that God has given me eternal life. When Paul came and possessed this life, he was walking. And all of a sudden, when he saw people in trouble, there was a demonstration of that life. He saw somebody who was trying to mock the name of the Lord, and he cursed him. The guy was blind. He saw a lady in Acts 16 who was with the spirit of divination, and they were making money from her. And when she saw Paul, because that's what Satan does when he cannot destroy you, he will try to partner with you. These are men of God, so that it will be that they are co-ministers. And when Paul left the city, they will say, Paul is not around, and will continue coming to you. He said, they are men of God. They have come to bring for us the good news. And Paul looked. Ordinarily, it should look like a good testament. But because another life was in him, a supply, he looked and he said, no, this is by divination. And he cursed the spirit. Brothers and sisters, my question for you before we pray is, what is the testament that you have met God? Is your evidence enough to convince men, powers, yokes, burdens? Is your testament enough to silence the voice of evil within your territory? When Satan causes students to fail, it's not about failing a course. It's a message. He's writing on their lives. Are we together? So many people say the reason why you fail is because you are a Christian and you are committing yourself too much in the things of God. That's the idea. He now wins because you are now convinced that God is equivalent to a nuisance to your life. So you leave him, and then they clap for you and say, now you are doing the right thing. And then you finish with a certificate and no passion for God. And you find out that you start joining the queue of miserable people moving around because they reduce God to improve other things. Who taught us this? Where did it come from? When men of God prophesy over people, members just say amen, but the truth is they don't even believe it because there is a track record of it not coming to pass. Let me tell you something. I'm sharing with you my burden and my contemplations. If among 1,000 people, 3 people get healed, I'm not impressed though, because they are not the only ones who are sick. It's just that we men of God are happy that there is at least one person, and so it proves that we are not fake. You love God more than that. To release the kingdom in such an extent that it becomes outspoken upon a land, an imprint of God. When you capture that reality, you institutionalize God consciousness within a territory. The same way people have been forced to believe in the existence of Coca-Cola. They've never browsed the internet, but they know Coke.
In every language, it is called Coke. That's how God must be institutionalized. So that even somebody who is not a Christian just starts singing a song. Lord, I lift your name on. I don't believe in him, but you have saturated the atmosphere with too much proofs for anyone to doubt the reality of God. They looked at you and say, you must bow down to idols to be blessed. And you tell them, no, I'm a possessor of another reality. There is another route that will produce a result. And they say, okay, let's keep watching. Your forefathers did this, and you just came and said you are in Christ. Let's watch what happens. We sacrifice to idols, and you say, no, there is another system. And after 2 years, you come to say thank you to them. And you come and feed the entire village and bless them. And you say, I'm not on my own. This is what Jesus would have done. I'm an ambassador, and this is what he does. You have represented him. You have introduced to them a reality. He said, that which we have seen, listen, that which we have heard, that which our have handled, that's what we teach. Are you teaching what you have heard? Are you teaching what you have seen? But are you teaching what you have? We must be the first guinea pig to our revelations. If it does not work in your life, it means something is wrong with the equation. It was designed to work. How many people, worshippers, hear me? You stand on stage and you raise songs, and he says, God is good, he can touch you right now. Mighty things. And there's someone sitting there barren and saying, I wish you were true. And he said, you know, I know that the Lord I serve will touch you, and you whet their appetite. And then he said, let's now share the grace. I hope you go and do something with it. And they leave disappointed. Yet there is a big poster written, God is good. And as they pass it, the devil says, you went to school. Compare your experience with the claims. They will not say it because they don't want to make us men of God angry, but they carry their doubts and their contemplations back. And they say, is this true? And then one day, they hear that there is a herbalist somewhere. Like Nicodemus, say, no, I will never go there. Then in the night, they quietly go and say, please, can you just help me? I'm desperate. I need solution. They receive the answers and run back and say, Pastor, just like you prophesied, it happened. And we ourselves know that we are not responsible for that outcome. Proofs that he lives, and evidence that he's not a liar. Jesus Christ has been misrepresented. He has been painted as many things. People die around like chickens, and we say that's the way God made them. It's like that. And now the truth is, even you have to believe it, because we cannot do otherwise. Until you raise the dead, you cannot enter a house and make that kind of claim. They will kill you, sue you first before they kill you. I present to you a realm of reality where we cannot just be communicators of the kingdom, but demonstrators of the same. I'm not just talking of falling down. Where your life, brothers and sisters, when Jacob, pastor, entered the house of Laban, Laban kept observing. Jacob was not preaching to him and said, do you know I'm the son of Abraham? His presence, he notices strange multiplication. He consulted divine powers. Come on, who is this guy? This guy has a supply on him, a possibility that is not affordable to the natural man. And Jacob was moving. He saw Jacob enter trouble, quarter to shame, a mystery bailed him out. Laban kept observing. And when Jacob said, I want to go, he said, no way. Look, make sure this guy doesn't go. Exchange wives, keep him longer. What will I do? You see why we are jobless? You have certificates, but we are not demonstrators. I know somebody, pastor in Kaduna State. He does 3 jobs. One of the jobs is in Lagos. He works when he wants. The minimum salary he gets on every of the job is 500,000. At his terms, if he should cough, the company will pack up. Realities. Realities. Has your life been able to supply a possibility to your environment that we know cannot be afforded? Why should I come to you when your product can still be gotten somewhere else? please listen. The world is not made of dull people. Why, what in the world should make me come to you and stay? Pastors, listen, as your member in loyalty for 10 years and also call others. What proof? What do you have to give me? What demonstration do you have to show me? What possibility are you introducing in my life that is greater than my experience? It cannot be a continuation of the same. That's why when new things come into town, when a new eatery, is that true? When a new, what they call them, shopping malls and the rest, what happens? People expect an experience that if not superior, different from their regular experience. So at least for the first 2 weeks, they rush. Let me go and find out. So when you hear that a program is in town, people say, let's go and find out. Then they come, they are all the same, let's just go. After the meeting, what happened? Oh, it was such a blessing. Thank God, what else? Are you still okay? I'm still sick. Let me tell you the truth, I won't lie. I just kept quiet just so that they don't feel I'm still sick. Hear me. The miracles that will happen in this place shortly, the outpouring of the Spirit that will happen in this place shortly, listen, it will make members rush to every church of every pastor here. Listen, do you know why? It's not whether you want them to come. That's the reason why they don't beg people to read newspapers. Media houses never beg people. That's the bank of information. People will always, where the carcass is, where the carcass is, brothers and sisters, if as I'm talking now, a news just spreads around that Benny Hinn just came to rest in one quiet hotel, did he call you? But you perceive him to be a demonstrator of a reality. What do you think you'll do after this program? I thought you were tired and you were about to go to your hostel. So all that I am busy, I am tired is relative to our results. Because people are busy looking for what they think we cannot give. Please understand what I'm telling you. I came to introduce something to you. We are going to pray. Hallelujah. Realities. Whoever took, there are no members. Where did they go to? You don't see people around? Every church has enough space to have overflows with tears that the pastor said, what do we need to do? The key is not publicity. Please hear me. Believe me when I tell you this. I have proven this. I don't want to sound arrogant. The key is to be such the closest representation of God they can find in an environment. It is impossible. You have never seen a herbalist poster with a goat head hanging on a... You have never seen an Islamic poster with an imam somewhere and saying, power pack this. But Islam is the fastest growing religion in Europe. You know why? Witnesses. Witnesses. When someone wants to leave Jesus, he says, I don't have school fees. They say, oh, that's all right. Let's help you and your family. They change their lives and to them, that's the gospel. So you stand somewhere trying to type in a blog page and say you are going to hell. Say, what? Are you kidding me? Somebody is taking care of me and you are... We have to represent Jesus. Everything we claim to give Jesus can be found in other places. Can we give the people what cannot be found anywhere? When you study developmental economics, you are taught that value is tied to scarcity. When a thing cannot be found everywhere... When Jesus came and walked the earth, they had never seen it in that fashion. They testified. The early church, they were caught to the heart by themselves, men and brethren. What shall we do? And he says, that's right, repent for the salvation of your souls. Please hear me, especially for those of you who are students. Value life must be accessing a reality and communicating it that is so notable, defies argument. Results that defy argument. When Pastor was sharing the little testimony, Pastor, you don't know how that testimony blessed me. God said, they got up, went to
a chief justice, and all of a sudden access is given to them. Now, the testimony sounds nice only because it has happened. At that point, they would have been jailed immediately. No long discussion. Who would judge the case? You are entering, they take you to the other room and just lock you there. And say that's a deterrent, because he can assume that this is how terrorists can come to his office and go and lock them. But the Lord walking with them. The Lord walking with them. You won't believe I've not even started my teaching. But I won't keep you long. We are going to pray. If you want more, come to House of David tomorrow. I mean, it's going to be such an experience in House of David tomorrow. You have all your loved ones there. Plead with them. Cry. I will be teaching some things in the morning and evening. But you will leave with something.